Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Billy Graham rolled into town, it was a major event, a religious phenomenon. Thousands in attendance, music and speakers and prayers and spectacle and I assume popcorn, and then an impassioned sermon from America's pastor himself. And to cap it off, Graham ended his sermon with the altar call, an invitation to come forward up to the front and commit or recommit or perhaps re-recommit yourself to Jesus. The buses will wait, Graham declared, as people approached with tears in their eyes. They were instructed to pray using pretty specific language, the magic words, some variation of, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And the goal of this exercise, of course, was to make sure you're in God's good books before time runs out. As one famous German theologian remarked after Graham toured his Teutonic homeland, it's like gospel at gunpoint. And the song that was playing while people made their way to the front, well, I guarantee you've heard it if you've ever attended one of our Sunday morning communion services. Just as I am without one plea. I thought Jordan was going to come in with the organ. Cover that up a little bit. Probably the most frequently sung hymn in the history of this very historic church, and the one that immediately precedes the meal of mercy known as Holy Communion, was also the soundtrack to the most popular altar call in modern American history. I just think that's awfully interesting. Now, as you might guess, I'm not a huge fan of the altar call in general, but even for those who cherish it as part of their faith traditions, they acknowledge one grave danger it poses, namely that people might become easily confused and start to think their walk down the aisle or their talk or anything else they did earned them the golden ticket. That is confusing law, what Scripture tells us we ought to do, with gospel, what Scripture tells us God has done and continues to do for us. And that confusion comes from a really understandable place, a desperate need for certainty about salvation. The irony is, unfortunately, when we do mix those two up, law and gospel, there is absolutely no chance for the kind of certainty we crave. Think about it. How can my actions help me trust in God? It's like saying, I love you, at the end of a phone call and hearing only silence. I've been told I've never experienced that. When you need confirmation, you need to hear it from the other person. You don't get an ounce of comfort from your own words, no matter how sincerely or frequently you say them. When we mix up law and gospel, the wicked twist is that the thing that's supposed to give us comfort and strengthen our faith, like responding to an altar call, ends up making us more anxious and robbing us of our faith. Did I walk up fast enough? Did I say the words exactly right? Did I believe them exactly right? Maybe I better do it again at the next rally just to be sure. At the next rally just to be sure. At the next rally just to be sure. Once the focus shifts onto you and your performance, those questions never, ever, ever go away. There's always the fear that you could do more. This was the fear with which Charlotte Elliott lived. Born in England at the turn of the 19th century, Eliot, from a young age, struggled with feelings of shame and unworthiness, in part due to her chronic illnesses and resulting disability. The thought of meeting a perfect God terrified her. And in response, well-meaning pastor after well-meaning pastor told her to pray more. Do more good deeds. Study your scripture more diligently and frequently. Until finally, a visitor from Switzerland told her, "You can come to Jesus just as you are." Relief washed over her, and she wrote the poem that became the hymn so crucial to the ministries both of this church and Billy Graham, "Just As I Am." And I won't be singing it again. Eliot experienced in that moment with the Swiss visitor what I hope you all have experienced and will continue to experience as often as necessary: the power of the gospel to destroy fear. The power of the gospel to shatter the vain notion that your hope is built on a foundation of your deeds, your words, your worthiness. That is sinking sand. Your hope, as our hymn of the day assures, is built on nothing less and nothing else than Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. In other words, it's not about your virtue, but God's. You're off the hook. You are no longer being evaluated. Say goodbye to test anxiety. So much religion is preoccupied with this question: where are we going in the hereafter? So I get excited when religion instead helps me think about what I'm doing here and now. And that's the subject of Jesus' sermon in Luke 6. We only heard the closing remarks he made, but what are we to do? How should we live as disciples? That was Jesus' sermon. And it was pretty simple, if you listen to Jesus, which I try to do. We are not meant to get stuck muttering, "Lord, Lord, I accept you as my Lord." We are to move beyond a narrow concern for our own personal relationship with Jesus and into a life of care and service for our neighbors, following Jesus' instructions. That category, by the way, neighbor, the bulk of this sermon is spent by Jesus emphasizing that it includes especially those we would think of as enemies. That is the life of discipleship. That is the house built on a strong foundation. But be clear, the house in question, the house in our text this morning, is not an analogy for our hope for the life to come. It is about our shared life here and now. It is about the kingdom of God on this side of paradise. Jesus has done what is necessary for your salvation. And in your baptisms, the promise of grace and mercy has been made to you once and for all. It's done. There is no need for you to walk up here at the end of the service unless you want a high five from Pastor McLean. And he loves them, so I would encourage you to ask for one after church. Jesus is much, much more eager, we see in this sermon, to see you walk that way, back out into the world, to share all this grace and love you receive here, not for your sake, not for your credit, but for your neighbors. Trusting completely in God's mercy, freed from all fear, you are called now by Jesus to go out as builders of a better church and world founded on the solid rock, which is Christ. Amen.